are entering the Giant Rock Podcast. Kick back and enter a world that few know about, and even fewer understand.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of your imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation. If you want to view paradise,
the Secretary General of the United Nations, an organization of 147 member states, who represent almost all of the human inhabitants of the planet Earth.
Giant Rock Podcast. Yes, February 2022. And not only that, it's Valentine's Month, I guess, and Black History Month, which is good. Baba Here Love is here with us and everything.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Valentine's Day, I mean, I remember back in college for Valentine's Day, I just met Elise, and we were into love everybody, right? Like going away, even though, you know, we had a thing for each other and it was very passionate on certain levels and that kind of thing. We both were in the mindset of getting away from the romantic trip, even though she gets upset about that now and then. She says, no, I don't. But anyway, at the time, we were like, okay, let's do this. And Valentine's Day, what is that about? Who feels left out? Single people, right? And people that are having difficult in their relationship and so on and so forth. And so what we did was, we decided to hand out Dove chocolates, and they had little, at the time, the Dove chocolates had little messages written on the Dove chocolates. So if someone could open and see a little like spiritual, I think they were actually spiritual messages or stuff like that. And we held up a sign that said, everybody is everybody's Valentine, one love, and that sort of thing. And it was really, really, people would come up to us and it was kind of cool. And it was like a kind of guerrilla theater statement. And we stood in all the students were going in between classes. And I don't know, it just made me think of that. Like Valentine's Day, right? It's like depressing for single people sometimes because it's like so pushed down, this romance, juice, ego, attachment, desire, like. Think about it, Jeff, right? How many love songs are real? Are they about love? Or are they about obsession, desire, mental illness, narcissism, trips about this, that, and the other? Look at Sting's song, Every Breath You Take. He's the psycho song.
Well, I could say that about a lot of country songs, too. You know, I could name a few dozen country artists, you know?
Yeah.
And I just think, I remember one time in the 70s, I can't remember where, somewhere in California, like they gave hugs. Everybody was given hugs for Valentine's Day. Just hug someone. And, you know, that happened just like a little brief moment in time and to reflect. And I think there's more unity going on than division. You know, I think it's like all, like when you look at the holidays, you know, like Christmas and New Year's, Thanksgiving, Halloween, all of them. You know, they all have like the marketing of, you know, you go to the store and then it's all marketing. Like right now they're pushing, you know, Valentine's Day will be, you know, what is it? St. Patrick's Day coming up, right? That'll be the next thing. Everything green. And, you know, it's just like, it's like we're conditioned to it. Like, okay, oh, now it's this. It's now, you know, there's no space in between. So like, you know, like, isn't it better not to, you know, like, people should be thinking not of those things, you know, like trying to think nothing. What do you think of that?
I just feel holidays often take away from the beauty of this moment and simplicity, and it kind of juices up sensory experiences and, you know, like just, it's this day and tomorrow is Christmas. I remember when I was a kid, like I was so excited before Christmas morning. And I think that carries a lot into adulthood about all these holidays and so on, even though it's not extreme. And what about this moment? What about the joy found in the moment? And that includes all the future and the past. Everything's right here and now. But if you're all juicing up the holidays, you're missing the beauty of this moment of just being here and going now this moment. And, you know, I just feel that you could still have all that holiday stuff, but it's like, how much do you invest into it? How much are you like, you'll go, say someone goes and sees their family on Thanksgiving, but do you buy into all that stuff? There was a Native American genocide. There was all that. Do you really, I'm excited to go see my family. Or can you just be in the car ride and then you're being with your family and you're being after, and you just, what I find, the spiritual awakening is what upsets people about it, is it takes the juice out of things. You're no longer going, if you really go the awakening, you'll never really enjoy a pizza the same way. It won't be the same. Part of you might be like, I hate this because I miss just being able to eat a pizza. I miss being able to be excited about New Year's or some shit like that. But that's the dying. And then when you fully can let that die and you're here, really here, you could have all that back. It's just seen in a new perspective. Like we were talking about the Valentine's Day thing. Look at Krishna and Radha, right? They're like, it seems like that's like from a Western mindset. They maybe, oh, look, they're in love. They're like, he's playing the flute and she's laying under his lap and it's love and it's romance. No, but it's really about Leela. It's about playfulness. And that's what I think is missing. All this romance, all this juiced up stuff. It's missing cosmic humor. It's missing playfulness and lightness. It's like so too serious. I'm going to have to do something to impress my girlfriend for Valentine's Day, and people, and there's boyfriends out there freaking out. They don't do the right thing. She'll leave him and go suck the guy down the street's dick, you know, and she'll, or three dicks in the same town. You never know. Four dicks even. Maybe she'll go with the animals. She'll be with the goats and ducks. And then the next thing you know, he's freaking out. He's like, why did you sleep with these guys? Why are you into bestiality now?
Well, why are you doing the space goats?
What?
The space goats.
Space goats?
Yes. What,
goats in space?
Goats in space. The infinity.
I never heard of space goats. Tell me more.
The infinity of space goats floating. Like, you know, like, say hello to the dolphins of, you know, like, you know, so, you know, the fish.
Say, well, you know about dolphins, right?
Say hello to the dolphins.
Ram Dass told a story. You probably might have heard this one on one of the podcasts where Ram Dass is telling a story about like how this guy's lost at sea. And, you know, everybody knows sometimes dolphins have saved humans. And he's freaking out. And then when the dolphin saves the man lost at sea, he looks in the dolphin's eyes and he sees joy and playfulness. Even though he's being saved and it's a serious situation, the dolphin's not all upset about that. The dolphins has that playful joy. But yet, even though the dolphin's playful joy, the dolphin still does a good, serious thing and saves this man's life and brings him back to the shore. The guy ends up having a transformative experience. He ends up going, after the dolphin brings him to the beach, he goes back in and he plays with the dolphins. He's swimming with the dolphins. The dolphin's riding on the dolphin's back. And he like sees how yes, there is that side of seriousness and life and birth and death, but there's also a playfulness to it all. And that's what it's really about. That gives all the serious stuff perspective, I think.
I was just thinking of, there was a book out there that talked about dolphins in space. I can't remember which one it is at the moment. Unfortunately, I'm racking my brain on it, but it was made into a TV series. Jeez, I gotta get to know. And so anyways, like it was like a book, and then it became a TV series of BBC. And the book to the galaxy or something like that it's called. And that's where we were joking around the other day about, you know, goats. And then that's why I threw into the goats in space, because the injection of that could be that, you know, the cosmic joke of that. And that's, I don't know where I'm going with that, but anyway.
Well, you know, you mentioned dolphins in space, and I used to read comic books when I was younger, and the storyline of the human drama, I'm not the storyline, but you know what I mean, my incarnation, my story. And even though we are our stories, we could see on another level, there's a story. So I read this comic called Lobo, and he was like this bounty hunter, and he's got like wild hair, and he's just like, if you cut, like he bleeds, the blood would, millions of Lobos would be born from it. It was really freaky. But he had space dolphins, and he was a really like hated everybody, like loner, crazy murderous bounty hunter. But when he was with the space dolphins, he was peaceful, and he would feed the space dolphins. And it's funny, because from my perspective, that there is a level, an astral plane, where there is a Lobo, and he does have space dolphins, and that's just as real as the dream we're in now. And all the different levels are all real, and they're all illusion at the same time. And I just feel like that's groovy. I mean, it's just like, it's worth it. What people with God, I find the big question people say is, if there's a God, how can it be so horrible? You know, but when you really get in touch with God, you see how it was all worth it. Because, you know, even though we all go through all these trips and these dreams, and there's Holocaust, and there's birth and death, and there's all this suffering, there's also all the great things about life and the dance and play and heavenly angels and all these other levels. And we all end up coming back into God anyway. So I think from that perspective, it is worth it, and we can bear it, you know?
So I was reading about that when you were talking about that online, where Bounty Hunter Lobo. And then it says, space dolphins are a mysterious species of celestial who inhabit the vacuum of space.
Yeah.
They are the one and the only to provoke the true feelings of love. That's cool. Spending time with them even cures the worst hangovers. I like that little tidbit. Cool graphics on, you know, the graphics and the artists that they did on that, everything.
Yeah, they were going to make Lobo into a TV series, I think, but I think that got scrapped. It's interesting what they're going to make into like shows or movies. They were going to make a Timothy Leary movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, and that didn't end up happening. And they were going to make a Stranger in a Strange Land, which is, you know, a real, my, I guess as an individual, my favorite sci-fi book novel is Stranger in a Strange Land. It would make an awesome movie or TV show series, but it got scrapped. And, you know, it probably wouldn't go over well with certain people, because it is really kind of offensive to people, I imagine, a politically correct thing. And I think it would get people upset. So that's probably why it got scrapped. To do it well, it would have to offend people. It has orgies in it, has free love in it, and that's since the 70s. No one even talks about free love anymore as far as sexual, and because of the obvious reasons, you know.
Well, they've done Huxley's, you know, on Apple Plus app.
Yeah.
They have Huxley's Brave New World. You know?
Yeah, I never saw that. I never actually read Brave New World. I've read his book, Doors of Perception, but I never got into his other books. I read a little bit of Island. Yeah.
It's flip side of, you know, 1984, basically, but people are conditioned by entertainment, media, and somas, which are, you know, like euphoric, give the euphoric feeling, like acid, LSD, psychedelics. You know, so people strive to have that and be entertained. Kind of like where America is a little bit, you know, like addicted to entertainment, you know, that whole media aspect and the conditioning of through drugs, pharmaceuticals that they control.
Yeah.
So like versus 1984, where everything's controlled by lies that are truth, you know, kind of what we're going through too, you know what I mean? And at the moment, but
it's like that. You probably saw that meme where they have like, you are here, like at the center. And then they have 1984, Brave New World, Soylent Green. I think
all
these different dystopias, what was the other one? The one about women being subjugated. It's a recent one. Anyway, it's got them all together. Handmaiden's Tale. And it's got it all like intersecting circles. And it's like saying like we're kind of in a we actually kind of are on the level of the material plane in like a mix of all the different dystopian novels. That's how I look at it on that level.
Got like different astral planes crossing over. You can't cross it over. You have Dr. Brown from Back to the Future trying to explain it. No, you can't do that. No. You know.
Well, you know, a great example is, of course, the doublespeak in 1984. I mean, do you remember before Trump got lost the election, they were saying kids in cages, kids in cages. Trump has kids in cages. Well, guess what? It's still the same exact situation. In fact, that has been expanded. And it's their people locked in cages all together. Same thing from the border. They're not being given proper care or pipelines into society, housing that's decent, things like that. But yet the wording changed. AOC, to show her true colors, she said, she was the biggest one on the kids in cages. And she changed her tone to overflow facilities. So kids in cages, when Biden came into power, even though it's the same exact thing, it went from kids in cages to overflow facilities. And that's the example of doublespeak. And if you look in Fox News and the liberal media, all of it is that big, very complex, just ingenious, like a Machiavellian kind of genius doublespeak. And it's all deceptive language. Even PBS, all of it is brilliantly deceptive. It's just like amazing. It's like it makes the conspiracy people look like they're right, but even that, you got that part of the system. You got people saying like they push the really crazy conspiracies to confuse people, and it's like all, and it's really what Oliver Stone kind of was one of the few Hollywood people that really understood it, I think, is he's used this. There's a scene in Nixon. You seen that movie?
Oh yeah, several times.
Remember, and he's at the Lincoln Monument. He's talking with some anti-war activist hippie types, and they're like, and he's like, they're telling him, he's saying, I want to stop the war, but I can't. And he's like, well, you can't. And she has a realization. She's like, you can't stop the war because the system won't let you. It's just the war is part of the system, and one president can't stop a war. It's just, this is how it happened. And he's like, this 19-year-old kid got it. The Wall Street, the CIA, it's the beast. He called it the beast. And Oliver Stone has that theme running through his films of the beast. And it's not like there's a shady group of people controlling everything. Sure, there are people at the top that make decisions and influence it, but it's just like a system. And the billionaire server, as much as the person that works at McDonald's, you know, we're all kind of caught up in it. And so how do we change it? You know, I feel that system is manifested from where our consciousness is at. Why do we have a system like this? Because of our level of ego in humanity. So we're going to have a competitive crazy system where there's all these really rich people that are like 13 really rich people and everybody else having nothing and living on a dollar a day in the third world, you know? And that's just because it's all manifesting from our level of ego. And, you know, it has to be changed. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I've seen like things, the people at a protest living in Oregon for one. Okay. Like the protests, people getting together, everybody getting together, you know, for the common cause, even people on the other side coming together for, against the Gulf War for one, against police brutality. This is in Portland, Oregon in the '90s, doing Hemp Fest 3 years in a row, fighting the police, fighting everybody in the city, getting people to sign off and agencies that they gave me impossible deadlines to do it within 2 weeks in the middle of the summer. Why they were, you know, hypocritical having Brewers Festival versus a hemp, where hemp is like, you know, and that doesn't get you high. It's not cannabis. It is part of a plant, but it's not one you could smoke a field and not get high. Right. Been around for since the dawn of man. But like kind of going to Occupy Wall Street, you know, I was thinking of that, where things are now, like how things, like there was like, who's the leader of Occupy Wall Street? There was no real leader. If you do recall, like Michael Moore tried to get in, and then you're talking about when, you know, Oliver Stone did that whole aspect with that documentary and the Untold Story of America. I don't know if you saw that.
I watched, it was one of probably the most depressing film I've ever seen, but I did sit through the whole thing, and it really is amazingly, and it all, he made sure everything was from documents and official, like he didn't go into theories. He's just, this is what we know about what U.S. foreign policy has done since before World War II. And it's just like, how can, the argument is easily made that the United States foreign policy is much worse than the Nazis. In fact, they hired the Nazis. After the Nazis were defeated, the Nazis worked for the United States. How is like the Guantanamo Bay and the border facilities and the Vietnam War and the Iraq War and all the stuff that's happened any better than the Holocaust? It's just like, it is a Holocaust. It's you know, dropping the atom bomb. Nelson Mandela, everybody's like, oh, Nelson Mandela. But he said the United States was worse than the Nazis. He said, how dare they just sit there and they drop an atom bomb on civilians? Japan was surrendering. They just wanted to keep their empire. And in fact, Oliver Stone's movie addressed that was supposed to be bombed at Russia. And there was something that happened that it ended up being bombed in Japan. But they originally were going to bomb Russia and start shit that way, you know? So, and right, you remember, this is fascinating stuff. The U.S. military built all these underground facilities, really, where if there was a nuclear devastation, select people could live underground. And they were planning a possible first strike of Russia that would have devastated the whole Earth, but they would go live underground. So it's worth it. I mean, they didn't follow through because that's insane, right?
God, it's Shakespearean. To a degree with that, and how things like with Russia being on, like, in, you know, waiting to go into Japan, and then we drop the bomb, you know, like, boom, right? You know, like, this is what we got, motherfuckers, boom,
right?
You know, and then we did it again. Truman was like replaced, you know, FDR because he died, right? But during that,
yeah,
they didn't want Wallace in. Wallace was his vice president. They got ousted Wallace. And that's where Oliver Stone kind of emphasized on Wallace, the vice president of FDR, how he was for the people, what he did for the farmers. Like, imagine if he, you know, like, that's what he was kind of going at, the positive side of the downer of what he was talking about, right? He was like, imagine if he became vice president and not Truman, right? That would probably wouldn't happen. And the second Bill of Rights, the Bill of Rights that would have gave every, you know, imagine if that would have passed. And they had to get him out, Wallace out, because they didn't want to pass any of these things that FDR wanted to do, you know. And then they create that war machine, you know, still like now the threat is Russia, you know, right after that, we dropped the bomb. They're rushing to get the bomb too, probably, but you know, who's going to drop it first? Who's, you know, the whole chess game at all, you know, like taking them on surprise. But you know, when you, excuse me, when you look at the spirituality of that whole thing, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, Albert Stone, has been known to do psychedelics and be into Buddhism. And at the end of that film, he does get into what he feels the solution is a spiritual awakening, even though he understands people think that's insane.
No,
but he, you know, how is that insane when look at all the wars? That seems insane to Oliver and me and other people awakening. That's more insane than the idea of us coming together. Why is that so insane? But anyway, you know, it has a really good ending to it where he talks about like it's like the baby taking its first steps and there's some sort of awakening and it's just painful and it's like we start to work as one. And that's you know, something that needs to be like Ram Dass. I remember when I had that Skype with them and that's the question I wanted to ask him, because he always said he always avoided a lot of times that question, what's going to happen with the planet? He would say, I don't know. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's bad. It doesn't matter. Be here now. Right. But he did go into it with me privately. And he said, well, I feel that the awakening's happening in pockets, and that he had a vision or something. And he said that he feels once it starts really becoming mass, we'll see a dissolving of nation states, you know? So some sort of global unity. And that will be the awakening consciousness. When will we see it actually happening on a mass level? When we're seeing all the leaders saying, okay, we're one planet. And you see all the people coming in the streets and celebrating our collective humanity or something, you know?
Isn't it kind of headed towards that direction? I mean, think about it.
I feel, I know it's inevitable, but that's, I mean, it's not like I know the chair is red, if it's a red chair. It's not that kind of knowing that you know. I know that I know that the scientific theory of that, it's just like an intuitive knowledge. And from, like I've told on the previous shows, from that being abduction experience where the extraterrestrials, that like soothes any sort of doubts about it. And I just feel in my heart that it will happen. But I don't know the time frame, and that's kind of a good thing. Because if I knew the time frame, would I be being here now? This is it.
God, I was, Jennifer was watching, I know you don't like Star Trek or anything, but this thing, Picard, you know, after, kind of they're going back in time after, well, there was like a big war.
Yeah.
And this is World War III. And then after there's, like we were talking about, this whole collective consciousness, everybody getting together, and we realize that we're part of it all.
Yeah, you I've know. Seen that movie you're talking about. Yeah,
so like
the Borg, isn't it?
Yeah, or something like that. I don't know. You know, I come in when she's, you know, in there, you know, in the living room. I'm in the back room here working on the computer where we're doing our show right now. And
well, I used to criticize the Borg. Do you know much about the Borg?
No, I just kind of like, I know like they're machines that took over humans. That's all I gather from the show. On that.
Well, they look like cyborgs, but they all are collective and they act as one. So you imagine, you know, they're the bad guys. The collective organism is bad, yet these neurotic Star Trek people having affairs with each other, melodrama, soap opera, this, that. I'm the captain. You're the lieutenant. That's good. The Borg, collectivity, oneness, bad. So it seems to me that the people behind that science fiction are putting down collectivity and they're putting up like a unity of ego, because that show is just ego, ego, ego. I mean, Picard's always having some melodrama and they're, you know, Data and, you know, there it's so much like soap opera sexual elements.
Yeah.
You think traveling in space, You'd be past what your hoo hoo and your ha ha.
The love boat. My hoo hoo
likes that lady's ha ha. Get over it. You think you're traveling in space and you still just want to get laid. So apparently, space is boring and you just want some poontang, right? Get over it.
It's Love Boat in space, I say.
But I tell you what, though, I think, you know, if I was going to go for a dude, Data, right? Like, come on. It's not technically gay because he's a robot, right?
So, yeah. He looks like, I saw that. Like, he looks like he's got jaundice, you know, or like, or hepatitis or something. Skin's kind of yellow and shit. And his eyes look like a cat.
And I want to see the pornography where Data bangs Hal from 2001. What do you think?
Well, I think when I visualize him looking like Ken, where are the parts? There's no parts. You know, so they would have to create a part.
Well, Hal talks dirty.
Yeah, Hal talks dirty. There you go.
And Data's sitting there saying, oh,
Hal.
And of course, there's like a bunch of strippers in a circle around them while this is happening. This is the pornography. I'm going to direct it in 3 years. So you got the original Data from Star Trek The Next Generation. I pay him $10 million to do my porn. You get Data in there. You get Hal. And Hal is doing the best dirty talk ever. And it's Hal, so it's a male, but we got a feminine voice going as Hal. But it's like a mix of male and female. And you got Data in there whacking off. And then around him is these, like, really beautiful stripper ladies. Right? That would sell a million copies.
Well, it kind of reminds me of another movie called, you know, by Spike Jonze called Her with Joaquin Phoenix. He's
what's that?
Where he, it's in the near future, and this device where he's like, it's like a chat, you know, like a phone. It's on the phone, and it's like a chat, and this girl falls in love with the girl on the phone, never meets or anything, and he finds out she's artificial intelligence, you know, and still loves her, like, and she has, like, gives her a form, never gets to, you know, have anything physical with her unless, you know, like there's the talk, you know, like the you know, what we're talking about, the, you know, the dirty talk. And so, like, but then he falls in love with her, and, you know, and like she really, like, comes off like, yeah, you're the only one, and this. And then he comes to find out she has like 340,000 mother boyfriends saying the same thing, you know? So, like, it, like, crushed his world.
This is
and
a
shit.
Real movie?
Yes, it's called Her. Her.
Oh, wow.
Is what you got to see. It's Joaquin. Right? You'll laugh at it. Like, he's a good actor, you know, so
yeah,
I think,
well, you know, it's like that movie. Do you ever see Movie 43 or something?
What's that about?
It was a comedy, like, ensemble, celebrity ensemble. And they had, like, different skits in a whole movie. It's just a series of skits. And they did have, like, a robot. They decided to make iPhones into just be huge naked ladies. And they were just like, that's the iPhone, and you use it as a phone. But they put in the vagina a port that's like a fan. And they're like, it's just for phone use. But then all these people were having sex with it. And then they got their dick chopped. It's really lame movie, but
it's a comedy horror. It's a dark comedy, yes.
It's a dark, like, sort of gross out, it's got satirical elements, but, you know, it was of course the critics, you know, if anyone should get gonorrhea, it should be movie critics. How dare they put down Ace Ventura? That's a funny movie. How lame do you have to be to put down all these comedy movies and then put Woody Allen, who was funny in the 70s, you put him up on a pedestal. He's so sophisticated and funny. And all the critics give him good reviews when he hasn't made a good movie since Annie Hall. And then things that are actually funny, they put down. Oh, that's gross. Oh, Ace Ventura, he's stupid. He's silly. What's wrong with being silly?
Yeah, slapstick. I miss it. And not only that, they need to come out with Ace Ventura 3 and Dumb and Dumber 3 with the real guys, not those other fake guys in the second one.
Yeah. They weren't as good, for sure.
Yeah, but, you know, like, I don't know. I didn't see the latest one with those two and everything. But, yeah, we're talking about Jim Carrey now, you know. You know, like I sent you that thing about in the Super Bowl. I thought it was going to be a movie or something. I know he's going to come out with Sonic Hedgehog 2. I thought he was going to be nothing.
Yeah, it's funny about that the people on the internet seem to be focused on, he was giving like a little bit of a spiritual talk here and there. You can find YouTube videos of him talking about spirituality. He surprised the celebrity scene when he went to a red carpet sort of thing and talked about being nothing. And you could tell, if you're good at vibes, that he was in some sort of state that was not, that was transcendent of ego. And that's like, to people on the red carpet, seeing someone that's getting even a little bit beyond ego is like an alien. They're like, what? You're not so special? Yeah, they think he's a freak because he's not super special narcissism. It's like on the celebrity Hollywood scene, if you're not extremely narcissistic, special, after money, sell your soul to the devil, eat babies left and right, rape 100 kids a day,
and wear the skin of them.
Oh, you're a freak. You know, be like Michael Jackson, you know? But yeah. Anyway, you know, it's just like, he had that awakening, and I think, you know, that's what happens a lot of times, is people will have a spiritual awakening to get beyond ego, to feeling connected to everything. But what happens is the ego and the sanskaras, they're called in yoga, where the sanskaras are tendencies over many, many travels, many lives and different incarnations, that comes rearing its head back. And next thing you know, you're doing a Sonic movie and you're doing commercials on the Super Bowl, because that ego flash he would get from doing a movie, that money flash, ego flash, that it's like Ram Dass talked about it, as you go up to the fourth chakra and, oh, I get it. I'm nobody. It's nothing. It's all one. And then you go racing back down to the third chakra, and that's power, personal and ego. And you sort of use that spiritual energy and your quest for like fame, money, ego flashes, and so on. It's not that that's bad. It's just that it's you know, he wasn't cooked. He wasn't like Neem Krul Baba. He had more stuff to work out and so on, you know?
Yeah, I think he'll eventually get there. You know, he's still on his path, of course. But like, it's easy for us to criticize him, you know, because of that.
Yeah, I hope I don't come across as critiquing him, because what I've realized is that anyone's stuff, meaning ego, tripping, greed, lust, misdeeds, so on and so forth, that's mine. I've come to realize it's all our stuff. And it's not like, oh, my ego is smaller than your ego. No. But you realize that it's all our ego, and we only can move as fast as we all can move. And that's what, in Buddhism, they address that question a lot, in Mahayana Buddhism, the Bodhisattva, is that you get free of your ego, you get free of incarnations, you get free of all of it, and you're in the eternal nirvana. Wait a second, you're one with all the beings that are lost in samsara, with every being out there. So it's absurd. You're not really free until every being is free, right? And that's what the Bodhisattva predicament and the Bodhisattva vow has addressed. The Beastie Boys had a good song, Bodhisattva Vow, that addressed those things.
Which song was that?
Bodhisattva Vow.
I never heard that one, man.
Well, yeah, but it's a really good song, and you know, it's a rap and all that.
Oh, okay.
It's just that's the issue. It's what you see is you get free from it. You go into the void, but you see you're one with all the beings that are lost, and any of their hang-ups is you hung up. And that's where the compassion comes in. But it's these multiple levels. You also see that none of that's even real, that it's only all just God, and we're already all free. And I just think it's like, that's tough for a lot of people that are so in their minds to see how there's just all these different levels, and you could exist on all these different planes, and you could have, and you sort of have to kind of balance all that, where you see it's all an illusion, but you also see it's all real. And it matters if you like push someone down the stairs or some shit. Don't do that, right? Well, it's an illusion. I'm going to push you down the stairs and make you eat McDonald's hamburgers every day. No.
Why being pushed down the stairs? Why you're pushing down the stairs and you're rolling, you're eating the Big Mac?
Well, I just pushed him down the stairs because he looked at me funny. He called me a chalky white cracker. He said, I'm chalk. And he said, you're a piece of chalk. Where's the blackboard? And I just lost my cool one. I just pushed him down the stairs. He's all right. He only broke his arm.
He had the big Kahuna burger that I want a taste of that tasty big Kahuna burger. And I want something to wash it down with too. Give me some of that Coke.
Right? Yeah, you
know,
there you go.
You know what I mean? Pulp Fiction. It's kind of like plays out this way. You know, like, that's what I mean. It's Shakespearean, everything. It seems like, you know, like how the media conditions people and everybody's playing out a part. You know, like, you're this playing this guy. Okay, I got it. And you're Clint Eastwood. All right. And, but, no, like, you know, like, I have a question for you that I've been thinking about. Like, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but, like, with, like L. Ron Hubbard with, like, Scientology and how, yeah. you pay and get to know the knowledge of the chosen few Jehovah Witnesses. You know what I mean? And, like, they're the chosen few. 120,000 are going to the kingdom of God. The rest of you are going to be in the damnation of hell. You know, yeah. And I've, you know, like, I think I've told you, like, they come knocking on my door in the past and everything. I used to, like, oh, don't answer the door. Hey, let's let them in and let's hear what they have to say. You know what I mean? And everything, you know, like, not taken in consideration. I had a roommate that was Jehovah. And anyways, he was, like, always trying to convert me and stuff. I don't know if we ever talked about that, but I mean, we're talking about one, everything but one. And how do you, with someone that, like, that, you know, like, how do you converse with them about what you believe when you're sitting in a room with them? That would be more my question.
Well, don't waste your time talking about this stuff. What you realize is people, you could talk about other things. Change the subject. Isn't it a nice day? Look at the sun. Look at the sky. What music do you listen to? Anything other than those things. Like, change the subject. Because you could just show them the loving vibe and not have to talk about love or not have to talk about oneness. Just be there with that person. And you know, love allows that being to be as they are. So yeah. Love doesn't try to change them. So if you're being loving with the person, you're letting them be a Jehovah's Witness. And you could even see, once you go deep into the love, why they are that, is that it's just basic kind of tribalism stuff. I am the chosen Jehovah's Witness going to heaven, and they're the damned. I am the Scientology and I know the secret, and they're the them. I'm the Hare Krishna and I chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and they're lesser. They have to chant the Hare. It's just all that is just the usual us liberals. I'm the liberal. They're the conservative. Leftists. I'm the leftist. Other leftists. Like, leftists are kind of the funniest ones, because it's like, especially American, they're all the leftists fight amongst themselves. Like, you're not leftist enough about this. And racism is more important than capitalism. And they're fighting over a little thing. We should address women's issues. No, we should address racism. No, we should address poverty. No, we should address all of it. And they're just like, the left is just like, Che Guevara said that the American left, they'd have all guns pointed at each other.
Yeah, no, and, you know, kidding, it's just, man.
It's just us first them. It's that classic us first them. I mean, look at the counterculture. Us seeing it's all one, and them that don't. Ken Casey, get on the bus or off the bus. Everybody wants to go into that. I'm in the chosen tribe and they're not. And that's missing the whole point. Go out there, someone that's listening, not you, Jeff, but someone that's listening to this podcast in the so-called future. It's all happening now. And just try just looking at a person that you really disagree with and they have a totally different point of view, and just see them as yourself. See them as us, and see how it transforms your life. We're living in an alienated society where we're all us and them and this and that and sides and fighting, you know, and that really helps the people that are promoting capitalism, right?
I mean, the division of everything, the duality.
Like LBJ said that. LBJ said, if you convince the, what was it? Something like this. I'm not quoting properly, right? But he said, if you convince the black man that he's better, or the white man that he's better than the black man, then, or something like that, then the best black man or something, then you could pick their pockets, meaning the relationship of racism and capitalism. And go even further of ego, of specialness, of putting women down. It's all one big pile of shit. So we might as well stick our goat dick in it and make sweet love to it. Yeah, because meaning, that's an analogy is what I'm saying, is we embrace what they say in Tibetan Buddhism. Embrace the 10,000 horrible visions, not stick your dick in a pile of poo. It doesn't mean that. That's just an analogy. It means embrace the 10,000 horrible visions. So if you're planning to stick your dick in a pile of poop, don't do it. I don't think it's healthy.
It's not healthy. It's stinky. It's a stinky mess. So like you're saying, with Scientology, you pay to get in and get the knowledge. And but it's all like, if you think about it, like they're all on their own path. You know, like if they're trying to reach the bliss of any form of any way of, you know, divinity, I guess that is a good thing. You know, that's like, I guess that's why, you know, like instead of shutting them out, like don't answer the door, right? Let them in and hear what they have to say. You know, you may agree on some of the things, but not everything, of course, right? But maybe, you know, if the conversation comes up, like usually, like you were talking, we'll talk about something else. And I've done that. I've had all my neighbors almost Jehovah's, and they, you're blasphemy, like trying to create an argument, you know, and I just kind of like, maybe they just want a conversation. And anyway, how can I get his attention? You know, like, you know, you walk by their place, like, hey, da 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 da, like yelling at, you know, like, are they yelling at me or someone else? and it's like 9 times out of 10, it was me, like, what are you doing walking by here? You know, like, and then, like, you know, like, and after a while, like, God, you know, like, I don't know, you understand they're upset that you may be walking by their door. I don't know, but I just, like, I have to walk by their door because that's the way out. And, this is a place like 7 years ago. And anyways, like end up being like talk to the lady and everything. Hi and everything. Got to know him. And then Jennifer, my wife, became friends with her. And then it was the daughter more like that and everything. And her daughter's bipolar and everything. And we understand all that. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then we understand.
Yada, 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 though.
You know, we understand, yada, yada. You know, because then it became friendships out of it. You know what I mean? You're this, you're that, instead of like you're us versus them. When you start talking to people, you know what I mean? You know, like sometimes, and you know, may not want to talk to someone in an uncomfortable situation. And I understand that. And it may be in a situation where you have no choice but to talk to the uncomfortable situation. Like you're in a room full of people like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you brought this up because I used to do that. I mean, as far as the storyline, again, I am nobody special. It's all one. But in the storyline of Eric or Baba Here Love, I used to talk to the Christian types. And I used to say, which is a good go-to if you're going to talk to Christians about oneness, Luke 17:21, it says, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, I guarantee every Jehovah's Witness, every conservative Christian, even liberal Christians will not have heard of it, even though it's the most profound line in the Bible and it's the most important one. They will not have heard of it. And, you know, they'll give you a look like a dog showed a card trick. And it's a nice look, so it is entertaining. You'll see. You'll say that, and then you'll see, just like a dog showing a card trick. They'll be very perplexed by it. They'll be a little bit intrigued even. But they'll, you know, pretty soon after the dog showing the card trick look, their clinging to their ideas and ego trips will reassert itself, and it will be a big discussion about how you're wrong and they're right. And I used to do that whenever. Sometimes I even went through the whole born-again ritual. I'd say, sure, it's all one, so that includes Jesus, so I'll do the whole thing. And here, I'm a sinner. Jesus, save me. And it does, it one time, it really put me in a psychedelic state. But it didn't convert me to us versus them. As soon as I got in that state, I saw we're all Christ. It's all Christ. It's all one. Christ, cosmic conscious, blah, blah, blah. And yada, 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 as they say in Seinfeld. And, you know, but then I stopped. I stopped talking to Trumpers. I stopped talking to Christians. I might say hello and someone in the street. But that's it. And I'll dance, throw up a peace sign, sing a song. But I won't get in any of these discussions. And plus, it's COVID. I mean, I avoid people anyway. I mean, getting close to them. So it's a whole different, it's a multi-level thing. And as far as online, I communicate with people that are on my same wavelength. And I found that is, at this stage in my journey, important. Like, if someone wants to debate politics with me online or in person or religion, I'm going to change the subject and go away. In fact, I just find that helpful. But, you know, you got a point. That's the thing, is that it comes down to, Jeff.
Yeah.
Feel out what's important for you as on your individual spiritual journey. What is helpful for you? Perhaps it's helpful for you or another individual soul going through the awakening to communicate with these people, whether online or in person, and that's important for the dissolving us versus them. And that's a real good thing to do. For other people, they might need to spend a lot of time in solitude. I saw this article online where they're like, solitude's so bad and it's bad for health. And yeah, it's bad because people don't know how to do the inner journey and sit there and maybe read a line from the Gita and just be quiet and do puja or meditate or learn how to dance with themselves. And that's why, you know, but if you could turn that around, say there's someone listening out there that has a lot of solitude. Maybe they're single. Maybe they want to be with someone. Turn it around. Learn to enjoy being with your own company. Learn to go the inner journey. Learn to just sit there with your sadness and loneliness and just be with it and learn from it. Make friends with a picture, you know, put a picture of a guru and talk to the guru. And if you have enough faith, which means letting go, you'll notice you'll open up a dialogue with God. And, you know, Ramakrishna recommended solitude for a lot of people on the spiritual path, you know? So I think, you know, it really, you have to look at, examine your ego, examine your individual soul journey, and feel out intuitively what's correct for you in that situation, right?
Right. I mean, it's good to do that. I know it's hard for people not to want to be around people, and especially with COVID that's been going on and with the lockdown. And I know there's a lot of lonely people out there. And then that's when, you know, things will come back around for you eventually. It's just a temporary situation that you're in right now, feeling this way. Not you, Baba, but other people out there listening. And in that breath, we need to take a break because we're at the top of the hour, 51 into the minute of Giant Rod Podcast, and we'll be right back. Take a break. All right.
We're on to your ovaries.
Yeah, let go.
Do you believe in flying saucers? Do you believe in air, even though you don't see it? It's as obvious as heaven or hell.
Remember, ladies, one must not get one's knickers in a twist.
If you're not familiar with meditating, don't try to turn off any of the other sounds. Let it all go by. Just be here. Don't judge, don't try, don't stop, don't start. Just be here. It's all just enough.
Hey, man, that's groovy.
It's an important and popular fact that things are not always what they seem. For instance, on the planet Earth, man had always assumed that he was the most intelligent species occupying the planet, instead of the third most intelligent. The second most intelligent creatures were, of course, dolphins, who, curiously enough, had long known of the impending destruction of the planet Earth. They'd made many attempts to alert mankind to the danger, but most of their communications were misinterpreted as amusing attempts to punch footballs or whistle for tidbits. So they eventually decided they would leave Earth by their own means. The last ever dolphin message was misinterpreted as a surprisingly sophisticated attempt to do a double backward somersault through a hoop while whistling the Star Spangled Banner. But in fact, the message was this. So long, and thanks for all the fish.
Hey man, that's groovy.
The hippie.
Mr. Cheech. Huh? Mr. Cheech.
Oh, he's in there, man.
What is going on here? This is an office, not a trap house. All you men, you're gonna get me in trouble. Now, I'm needing to talk to you.
Handle a shart. Oopsie poopsie! You tried to let one rip but expelled more than you bargained for. An accident known as a shart. And boy, do you need our help. You tried to let one rip but expelled more than you bargained for. An accident known as a shart. And boy, do you need our help.
Get your blankie in a twist. I'm not here for a scuffle. I'm looking for my friend, Fishy. You wouldn't by chance see my friend, would you?
Remember those blurry photos of UFOs that look like garbage pail lids? Well, we finally got one that's as clear as it is confusing. After careful analysis, experts agree it's a scroungy biker on a flying motorcycle.
Yeah, right.
The name's Lobo. That's L as in blasphemy, O as in obliterate, B as in disavow, and O as in... Guess I can use obliterate twice, then. What do you think?
I think you're a certifiable madman.
Deve credere.
Yes, and what else, Missy? I lied. Yes, and what else, Missy? That's about all. Oh, one thing. I keep thinking I'm a Randy Goat fucking everyone. Unless, of course, it's a woman priest, in which case it'll go like this.
Forgive me, Father, for what I'm about to do.
Which case it'll go like this.
changed your name to McLovin? McLovin? Changed your name to...
And you landed on McLovin.
Yeah, I was between that and Muhammad.
Why the fuck would it be between that or Muhammad? Why don't you just pick a common name like a normal person?
Muhammad is the most commonly used name on Earth. Read a fucking book for once.
Fogel, have you ever actually met anyone named Muhammad?
Have you actually ever met anyone named McLovin?
Talking to Baba here, love. Welcome back to Giant Rock Podcast. I was going to talk, we were talking about censorship within the digital media and how things like being propagated through, I think, mostly algorithms and using artificial intelligence and like and saying we're Meta now. Well, they're, at least they're open about it. Like, we're taking metadata and creating, you know, interesting things for you to like and everything. And then if, you know, like, if you have nothing, no problem with that, like, and that's great. And I, in the past, I've had problems with it, but, like, with you, Baba, like, you're talking about using spirituality with social media, which is a good thing, and bringing people together, because without that, I wouldn't have met you and many other people without social media. And then...
Well, it's interesting, you've heard of Terrence McKenna, I'm sure, right? Yeah. Well, Terrence McKenna has that famous, like, I think like 20 YouTube videos have been made of this little spiel he has about culture. And he talks about don't watch TV, don't listen to NPR, you know, create your own culture, create your own music and art and dance, and just stop consuming all this culture, create your own. From your experiences and so on. And he said all that before social media, but that's really the opportunity we have. But I guess a lot of people aren't really using it the way he envisioned it. But we can create conscious culture. We can do the inner work, have psychedelic or meditation sort of stuff, and then from a state of being conscious, create culture that could go even go viral, that could catch on, that could influence the culture. So it's not top-down culture creation from the think tanks. And people forget there are these think tanks. There's these hugely funded think tanks. There's cultural engineers that are all owned by the major companies, all the media companies, and that culture is top-down. And you only can create certain Hollywood movies, and you can't have these themes, and you can't say these certain things on TV and so on. But in social media, someone create their own little video about meditation or about seeing things in a different perspective or whatever it is. And that is what he was envisioning, I feel. And I recently found someone conscious, this guy called Conscious Eddie or something. I forget his name, but he's talking to leftist things. He's using, looking at things from the media, like Dave Chappelle. He made this recent video. Dave Chappelle was putting down poor white people. And this is a black person making the video. You know, he's saying like, he's saying we're being divided, black, white. It's really a class issue. And look, here's David Chappelle, a black person talking about black people and how important black people are, which is a good thing. But then look at how, when it comes down to it, his mansion, low income, affordable housing is coming in to near his mansion. And he personally shut down the affordable housing thing in the city hall, and he's being criticized by leftists online and so on. He made this video about it, and he's relating it to, look, it doesn't, it's not a black or white issue. It's like, because if you say, people are saying, well, it's mostly white people in this low income housing, so it's okay because it's poor white people, not poor black people. But he's saying, look, that affects poor black people. If you, because, you know, say it's 90% poor white people coming into that housing, affordable housing. What about the 10% black? Is it all about numbers now? And he's pointing out these different things, how of classism, how if a black man goes up there and he just becomes part of the elite capitalist class, He just acts like them. He's, you know, and he's just another person with a lot of money usually. And that's not all people with a lot of money. Of course not. But you know what I mean? Why did Dave Chappelle have to do that? Just because affordable housing will be close to his mansion? It seems like he's just buying into that mentality. What happened to the Dave Chappelle from Chappelle's Show? That edgy sort of taking on race issues, caring about the common person. That Dave is long dead, you know, I think. He's become a total douche, elite, another Joe Rogan, black Joe Rogan, you know?
We just know, you and I know the struggle, you know, like a lot of other people that go through the struggle. You know, survival of just like living, right? Shelter, food, the basics that should already be there for everyone. If like I, you know, like I get engaged in political conversation on Twitter every now and then, and mainly with housing in LA here, Los Angeles County, we're getting a new mayor, and Karen Bass is going to run for mayor. Garcetti's out. You know what I mean? And so, like, L.A., like, Los Angeles is like New York with the mayor. Like, the big city, especially with Hollywood, you know? But the city's falling apart. There's more homeless, you know? And when she doesn't address how to create the stopping of the raising of the rents. You know what I mean? They have a rent ordinance called... It's called rent ordinance... The rent ordinance, whatever. Anyways, it's a rent ordinance that's been in place since the late 80s. It needs to be updated. There's a 3-6% annual increase on rent with low income housing in Los Angeles County. So, like, you add that 3 to 6% per year, that's 30-60% rent increase in a 10-year period. That's insane. When you've got $7.25 an hour and then $15 an hour doesn't even cover it, you would have to make $40 to $50 an hour just to live normally here. People are living in Los Angeles in places where high school kids getting out of high school and they're getting ready to go, you know, get in the workforce, living on their own way from mom and dad, moving into these apartments. Where these apartments should be, that should be for people like that instead of families living here. And then the landlords that own this, the places have been owned like 20 times over. They don't own any money on it, no mortgages or anything. But yet they're able to raise the rent and make money off people living in a housing. I think that's wrong. I think there should be a profit of that.
Don't worry, because Randy Newman, he's got a big nasty redhead by his side, and he loves LA, and he's ready with his army of redheads, and they're going to invade LA singing I love LA at the top of their lungs, and then they're going to invade all of LA, and they're going to take over, and they're going to make it the first utopia on earth.
I love LA. Yeah,
I can't help it. That song's really good. You know that song?
Yes, very
another
well.
Famous musician recommended, helped him with that song. He's like, I got to write a song about L.A. and someone else introduced it. But it really doesn't represent the L.A. you're talking about, right?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Maybe it was like that 40 years ago, you know, like in the 80s, probably before the decay really set in. And it's like New York of the 70s here. You know what I mean? And in you know, the ways they're trying to fix things, like you're talking about, I don't want public housing next to me. You know, like, and if they just, like, they have, like, Karen Bass's, we have Section 8 vouchers that no one's taking. Well, I know landlords don't want to take it because they're making people that are homeless. Go find, here's a voucher for a place to live. Go find yourself a place. Go find yourself a place to live. And go to that landlord. I've been homeless. Let me in. No. You know what I mean? Shit.
You know, that just sums up our, like we were talking about earlier, this alienated society, is that when people walk, like, not you, but when a lot of people walk past a homeless person, what do they see? Someone separate. They might feel a sense of pity or shame or confusion. All kinds of emotions may come up. But do they see that that homeless person is themselves? You know, and I feel like if enough of us saw it's all us, that's the answer. Because systemic changes are important. and that's part of it. But until we see that we're all connected, it's all just going to be variations of the same divisions of classes and races and all these divisions, you know? Well, so like I just feel
with Whoopi
you
Goldberg,
don't necessarily have to go out and feed the homeless as a person. Just the inner journey. Like, that's important to volunteer at the homeless shelter. That's important to give a dollar to a person when you're walking by. That's all important. But what's the most important is changing our consciousness. And I think that is a very unpopular view.
I agreed. I think, like, people, like, that could be me, maybe. Instead of, like, there's, like, people around here, like, you go somewhere around Lake Hollywood downtown, people, like, step over people. Like, they're not there. And same thing when I was in Portland, there was a woman there, and I had a lot of empathy. I tried pleading for help. You know what I mean? Pleading to people. Pleading. You know, like, and then you see that massive suffering. And that just, like, that triggers a thought here with what I saw in Portland last time I was there with the woman that was there sitting in that one spot in between a building for 8 months. Then it triggers another thought of this Marine veteran. Now, this is a good one. The guy made the best of his homelessness, and he created art. He took buckets and parts of plastic and made himself a robot. And he would, like, during rush hour traffic on Crenshaw and I-10 exit going east, he would be out there, like, hustling the money, dancing. He's dancing. I'm a Marine. I used to be a Marine. He had signs up right by the car wash. And, you know, like, he's been there 8 years. He was there 8 years. He just recently, I don't know what happened to him. I hope he could found a place. You get to know some people. Myself, I make it a point.
You know, this brings up something that is in a really good of Ram Dass's lectures in the 70s, is that what you're talking about is the bleeding heart of Jesus. It's like that there's one part of this awakening where it's the bleeding heart of Jesus and the blood's going in the white snow and it's red with the bleeding heart of Jesus. And that's like seeing the suffering, and all that suffering is our suffering. That homeless person dancing, trying to eke by a little bit, that's us eking by a little bit. The person that has cancer and such terrible pain right now, that's us having cancer too. That's the bleeding heart. But yet, don't forget, Ram Dass reminds us to look up, because as much as that's a level, there is the Himalayan peaks, you know, the peaks of the Himalayas where everything is exquisitely perfect. It's a divine dance. We all come from God. We all return to God. There's the cosmic joke. It's all just made of energy, and that energy is consciousness, and it's pure, and there's a light perspective, and it's an illusion anyway. And that person's meant to suffer, that they go through a life as a homeless person, they get to come back as a rich person one time, and then they get to be an angel, and then they get to be a rock, and they get to be the fisherman and the fish, and they get to be all the different everythings, and and it's something that we learn from that, and there's something that we go through, and it's all just from that perspective of hide and seek. It's just a game. We hide from ourselves. It's all so real, and I'm homeless, and it's horrible. And then we start to seek ourselves. Oh, wait, there's something more. This is just a dream. We find out we are everything. And we put ourselves in this situation. We created all this to live out, to awaken to ourselves again. And then that's the balance. You don't want to get lost in that. Because if you get lost in the Himalayan peaks, right? It's all just a dance. It's all perfect. Then you don't give a shit. If the homeless person, I'm not going to give him a dollar. Just going to walk right by. Who cares? It's just a dance. It's an illusion, dude. Wake up. Just a dream. Stop being homeless. It's a dream, right? You get that sort of like too much in the peaks, you know, and you miss the bleeding heart. So I think it's that balance of letting the heart bleed into the snow and remembering the Himalayan peaks. And that's what this being on Earth is about.
I absolutely agree, because like if they look up, instead of looking at the perspective, this is what I was. I want to regain what I was. But you're here right now with this. That's past. What I was, you can't be what you was. You are here with this right now. So when you look up to the Himalayas, it's a new venture. It's not that past of what you went through and that suffering you ended up where you're at or whatever happened. It could have been had something and lost something. Or it's always some kind of grief of loss of that, of the action. The action creating reaction to the create the action of removal of to that level, because if they look into the other direction of not like I gotta grasp onto what I had. I grasping onto what I had because I want that back. And if they look at it from outside the box of okay, this is what I gotta do to get out of that this situation I'm sitting in here right now, I wanna end up in this situation right here. What do I got to do to get there? Instead of playing the dance of people trying to get them out of that situation, they can play their own dance to get out. I know that. And it doesn't mean they have to be right there, you know.
Well, speaking of the Himalayas, you probably remember, you've been getting into Yogananda, right? So you heard of Babaji, Maha Avatar Babaji?
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, I feel that there is this yogi that's like in between planes in a way. He's on the astral mostly, but he also has a kind of physical manifestation in the Himalayan peaks. He's living up there, he's not eating. He's got like a few other yogis around him, and no one knows about him. Actually, someone might become his student. But the point being that you have to look at autobiography of a yogi to know what I'm talking about. And someone out there wants to check it out. So anyway, he's supposedly this 2,000-year-old about yogi that's maintained his physical body for all these years, which usually yogis don't do because it's pointless. But he has done that for the sake of humanity. And Yogananda, he's one of the gurus in the Yogananda lineage. And, you know, he's the Himalayan peaks. We were talking about the Himalayan peaks. And I remember I met him on an astral plane, which people call dreams, lucid dream. I was aware it was a dream, and I was flying, and it was so, you know what you notice about dreams, right? When you're in the dream, it feels as real as the reality we're in now. It just feels that real when you're in it. When you're waking up from it, it's just like a dream, right? But when you're in the middle of it, lucid or not lucid, it feels that real. Now, people that don't remember their dreams might think I'm nuts, but if you remember your dreams, yeah, it's during it, it's definitely that real. So I remember flying, and I'm looking for Babaji. I made it a purpose before I went to sleep to look. I want to meet this Babaji because I've been reading autobiography of yogi. I read a few other Yogananda books. I want to meet Babaji. And I go in to look for Babaji, and guess what? There's this huge tower, and there's these beautiful women washing themselves naked, shining in light on the tower. And they're like, it's kind of like a temptation, right? I'm going to look for Babaji, but look, why don't you go with these ladies, right? It's kind of like a cosmic test or a joker, some like playful thing with Babaji. Babaji's like, let's see if he still wants to see me after he has this possibility, right? But I really was at least in that dream, set on seeing Babaji. So it was painful for me, but I flew past the ladies, and they were really beautiful. But I flew past them, and I eventually meet Babaji, and I there were no words. It was just so beautiful and profound, and I have this sense that he does exist on the physical plane a little bit, not like we would think a person exists, but he has a physical kind of manifestation. And that it's, but I don't know that I know that, like I know the Earth's round kind of thing. But I sense that with my heart. And, you know, the question people say, well, if Babaji has these powers, and he said, wouldn't it help if he came, got off his ass in the Himalayas and went down and like said, look, there's more to the world. Can't we help the homeless people? Right. Why doesn't he do that? I mean, these are questions that people that you know, don't have spiritual experiences, always ask spiritual people, why is it like this? Why is there this suffering? Why doesn't one of these beings stop it? Why doesn't God stop it? You know, like, that's frustrating for people. This, the spiritual and God and all that, you know, like Richard Dawkins, one of the most militant atheists, he's very like kind of angry if at God or whatever. I don't even think he's an atheist. He's just very angry at God. How can it be like this? Because he never had that vision. He never had that awakening, you know?
It's like a movie, you know, like how a screenplay is written in the introduction of the characters and, you know, the journey itself, you know what I mean? And then the low point. Then they come right out of it somehow, like a Disney film. Crush that evil. Crush it. Yeah. And then the conqueror of the twist, you know, which is cool. I like the end of the twist and everything. I think we're coming to that. You know, what is the humanity's path? You know, like out of the trillions of stars, like I said, like, tell people, like, what do I tell people? Like, I tell people, like, lately, like, here's a part of a cosmic joke. There's, like, they say there's more stars than the grains of sand on our planet, okay? And with around those stars, there's planets, right? there's probably a lot more than the sands of grain and planets then. And if there's life upon that planet amongst the universe, right? Then yeah. That means, like, what are we? We're just like, we're nothing. We're just a little, we're not even, can you see us? No, you can't. Even with the pale of the, you know, the blue dot, the pale blue dot that Sagan talks about when they, you know, the Voyager 2 screens back from going past Mars, and we can't even see Earth. That's how small we are. So, like, everything that's so significant is right there. Like, so that's the cosmic joke too. Cause that's the reality.
You know, it's the cosmic joke with that, like, cause on a level you're talking about, yes, the human being is like so small, and there's all these stars, and there's other levels. There's the astral planes. There's infinite levels.
Oh yeah.
From my perspective, infinite levels of reality. But from my perspective, I am all of that. So the most distant galaxy, that's who I am, and all of it is who I am. And when I'm in this state that I'm in now, I look out and it's the self. So I look out the most distant stars and I feel like they're right here. And like the third Zen patriarch says, it's infinitely large and it's infinitely small. And, you know, a lot of people have had that experience on psychedelics. They take a large dose of psychedelics and they feel it all, just no separation. They feel that oneness. They don't feel like a pale blue dot, an insignificant little nothing in a vast sea of stars. They feel that all the stars, all the extraterrestrials, all of it is who we are. And it's just so beautiful. I remember one particular psychedelic experience that all the galaxies were coming through my wall and they were just going into my arms. And I just feel like that both are true. The one where human beings are so small and that everything's so far apart. Well, on that level of the physical plane, that's relatively real. There's a human being on a planet who's born, who dies, who's small, and Earth is small. And there's just a little few little planets, and there's all these stars. And if you look in the darkest, farthest place, there's all these galaxies, and that's just one plane of reality. That has the truth to it. That's relatively real. But then there's another where all that's us, and it's all one, and it's all in your hand. You could look in your, like, you know, the famous Ram Dass thing, looking in the spilled soda of Coca-Cola. Like, who hasn't had this experience that has really gotten to psychedelics really far? You look into the spilled soda. What do you see? Every universe, every extraterrestrial, every angel, all the levels right there in the spilled soda, all of it, everything and everything. Everywhere you go, you look at the stop sign. Everything's in the stop sign. Every level, every universe. Then you go see a dog, a poodle, just walking along being a poodle, not knowing that every level, every being that ever was, will be, every planet, every extraterrestrial, every angel, every level is in that dog. And where you go, everything's everything. And then it's a big, solid energy of everything. And it contains the past, present, and future, and every level and every being. And all, it's all just, And you know what's so amazing about this is it's not special to realize this. That some bozo out there in Arkansas can meditate or take some mushrooms or look at a stream or whatever, or hug a tree and realize this. Why is it not? Why is our guy in Arkansas not worthy, but yet the Buddha is? Because the Buddha sat under a tree and it was 3,000 years. No, you listener out there listening to this, you're worthy to realize this. It's nothing special. Just quiet your mind, open your heart, and go with it, and you'll get exactly what I'm talking about. Everything is everything. You'll look at the stars and you'll see yourself, and you don't have to go tell the clerk at the store it and tell you, hey, mom and dad, guess what? I'm God. And when I look at the stars, it's me. And it's all one. Don't you see? It's not like a big pale blue dot. It's all out there, and it's in here, and the outsides are in, just like John Lennon said. Because then your parents might freak out. They might, try to get you committed or something. You don't have to tell anybody. It's not special. We're all worthy to rest in this place. And yet, what you said, Jeff, that's a relative. You don't want to push away where there is a planet. And you are born and die. And you are human. And you are so insignificant and small. And it's all out there. That's okay. That's a level.
Exactly.
It's just, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because it... What the universe, they're talking about the universe, black matter, just recently in scientific level and the humanity level, that the black matter probably has a consciousness. Oh my God, the universe has a consciousness by the scientists out there. You know what I mean? Isn't that rad? And so it all fits together. Like, yeah, you're right. I spill the Coke and that's the universe right there. And the bubbles of that Coke spilled on the ground with in between the pebbles and the rock and the dirt. And within that is the other universe within the universe, so it's infinite, right? So
yeah, you get it. Yeah.
So the infinite of that, does it mean the vastness versus infinite, like that of the consciousness? It could be the microness of the infinite to the expansion of the universe, like the Big Bang, was it that like that? Or is it like they say, like with the black hole, the sun, the star explodes and then it becomes like the size of a quarter and everything gets sucked in through the size. I mean, isn't that the same thing? The universe is sucking itself back in. Hey, let's suck each other, right? And then
have you ever looked into Vice? You ever heard of that online magazine that's kind of popular, Vice?
No, is that like the network Vice?
It's a mainstream online. It's got videos and articles. It's kind of popular, I guess you could say. It's mainstream. I know that. And the point being, what you're saying, some people might be listening to this and think it's far out stuff, right? But, the CIA was studying this stuff in the 80s or something and really getting deep into it. And then just recently, these documents were released with one particular page that, maybe 5 years ago, 26 pages of their studies into spirituality and meditation and spiritual powers and telekinesis. All that was released, but they left that one page. Then finally they released the one page. This was maybe a couple months ago. Of course, no one cares. But anyway, if you read the actual document, what it seems is the intelligence agencies get what's at least intellectually the people in there accept as fact. That the universe is a hologram, that it is not it's a hologram in the sense that how it appears so far out and it's all out there. That's the hologram. It's really just one. It's just it's like infinitely large, infinitely small. It's like this idea that there's space and time. That's the hologram aspect, that the universe we know is the universe. Look out there is Mars. Look out there is a galaxy. Look out there is a black hole. that is a hologram. It's an illusion, and they accept that. And it's really beyond that. It's just created out of the oneness, you know? And they were talking about this in the document as fact. And they studied these particular meditators and this particular technique, and they were getting somewhere with it. And they were, of course, they were trying to use the spiritual powers and spiritual truths to benefit the intelligence agency and foreign policy and all that. But I just think it's interesting that you look out in most of the mainstream networks and science and scientific things, and they're all kind of like, this is far out stuff, and they're opening up to it now. But you look at the CIA and they're like, this stuff is fact. I mean, it makes you wonder about when you get into the higher levels of government and they're studying these things and they're looking into maybe extraterrestrials, maybe they know about that stuff too. And it makes you wonder about that kind of stuff. Like, you know,
yeah.
It just kind of is mind blowing stuff. Now, I'm not conspiracy Alex Jones, David Icke, vaccines in the butt that make you think chemtrails create goats and Tom Cruise clone. I'm not one of those people. You know, we get into that stuff online. So I just feel, just keep an open mind about this stuff. You don't have to get all wacky about it and start telling people about the Earth's flat. Just be like, oh, let me look into that. And why do you have to be so heavy? Oh, my God. They're after us. They're this. They're that. I know the secrets about this. Just mellow out and look into this stuff a little bit and use your, what do you think, call it your mind. Like, not every YouTube video that says the Earth is flat is true. Can't you differentiate between that and a CIA document? Can't you differentiate between shady stuff about 9/11 and, like, QAnon? I mean, yeah, I just think people, you know what I mean?
Like, you know, like Art Bell, Coast to Coast, you know, like when he started right after Larry King went to CNN and shit. But Larry was great. But like Art Bell was like, would take calls in and like some of the things, you know, like it was like QAnon's theories, like the moon's coming down and saying hello. And, you know, maybe it is, you know, fucking A, man, right on. Fuck, you know, but he was open to it. You know, Art Bell was cool about it and everything. And you were, you know, like you were talking about, like, they're using it for government reasons, using, you know, meditation and psychic warfare, you know, like with remote viewing, you know, the men who stare at goats, kind of like that. I don't know if you've seen that film at all.
I read the book and the movie. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, so like I think they, you know, there's, you know, like the Star Wars program that Reagan, that was, you know, I believe that all happened, how the government is. And hey, why not? Fuck it. Maybe there's something they figure, well, there's something to it. Maybe we can use it to our advantage if we got people to meditate and do all this other stuff, and we can use it for psychic warfare against Russia. And, you know, that's how, you know, Reagan was thinking, right? You know, like, let's go. We have space lasers in space and shoot down the satellites and the rocket, the nuclear missiles. They come up and then we can shoot them down, right? And, well, we could get these guys to locate them where they're at before we shoot them down. You know what I mean? Fuck. Anyways, like where their heads at, you know, like where, you know, like, so like I, you know, like you know, the counter clashing of that, like where that could have went. Imagine if that door was open, like, okay, maybe if we did it this way instead of like, okay, we're going to do this and take over the world. Why don't we use it for the benefit of everybody? Maybe that could.
That like the Manhattan Project, right? Yeah. Let's think about like the Manhattan Project for people that don't know, whereas all the scientists that they could grab, the smartest people, they got together, they throw a bunch of money at them and said, make a nuclear bomb. You access what Einstein, E equals MC squared, turn this equation into blowing shit up. And they throw a lot of money and the best scientists all together. Imagine you took all the best scientists and had like meditators around them, and you put a good vibe and everybody's behind it, and you have like even religious leaders getting in there saying prayers, and you say, scientists, come up with something that will help everybody stop climate change, defeat poverty, and they could come up with some sort of technology and some implementation of it and a plan, and all this together, and the media is behind it and the governments are supporting it, instead of like these sort of, we want to be like that Paris talks about climate change, but really do it. Put the money, want to get the solutions, put good vibes in it, put meditators behind it too, and religion, throw it all. We'll all get behind it. We'll come up with a really good plan and we'll pull out of this mess. I really feel like that would be cool. I mean, Peter Joseph kept bringing up that point. What if that was done? What would happen? Would that work? You know,
it's going to have the hand. It's the force in the hand, you know, like the properties, like if the, you know, like it's at the point of no return, climate change. We got to do something now. You know, like the town crier, stop, stop, hurry, hurry, you know, like, then come on. And then they need to realize that, hey, where else are we going to go? Are we going to go anywhere else? I don't think we have anywhere else to go. Like, go on a rocket with Jeff Bezos that's shaped like a cock. And then also, he only has limited room. Only William Shatner's ass could fit in there right now.
What about Saturday Night Live? Saturday Night Live in the 90s and the 70s, even the Eddie Murphy in the 80s. You got some serious comedy. They were satirical. They were kind of edgy sometimes. Then you get to the recent Saturday Night Live where they have Elon Musk on there to literally suck his dick on national TV and make him feel okay about his problems. Like, how is that funny? It's sad that this billionaire needs to feel like therapy on through the media. I mean, I don't understand. Our culture has become the billionaires are the saints, the poor people are the sinners, God is money, and everybody's like Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, blah blah blah. No, what is the religion everybody's into? Money, billionaires, poverty, these types of things. Do people what might skip a week at church, but will they skip paying their electric bill? You know what I mean? This is the real religion of modern times. And, you know, it's funny because the ancient yogis of India, you may not know this, Jeff, but the ancient yogis of India, astrological type stuff, they predicted this thing called the Kali Yuga, and that's the current time we're in. And they said the most important thing would be people with money. That's what's going on, right? And spiritual people, they just have to look spiritual. They're all hypocrites, and they don't know anything about it, right? They just look like it and appear like it, and they're spiritual, and they have if a spiritual person doesn't make a lot of money, they're not trustworthy. You see this? Because it's all like the spirituality isn't really spirituality in this age according to these ancient yogis. And they said the most important things are the money and sexuality, that if you're cool, if you have sex well, not even tantric or anything like that, but prowess, you know, power, money, sex, these type of things. And hip hop, like Deepak, look at Deepak Chopra. How is it he not a perfect example? Deepak in the movie Decoding Deepak, made by his own son, he cannot meditate for more than 5 minutes. He's on his BlackBerry. He doesn't know anything about spirituality. He's letting all his doubts out there. He just talks the talk well. And that's what they said back then in ancient India. They said, if you look spiritual, Deepak looks all spiritual. He talks the talk. He's Mr. Spiritual. He's got the nice glasses on, and I don't get sad, Oprah, because I meditate. But he can't even meditate. He can't meditate for 5 minutes. And of course, these ancient yogis, some of their other predictions there are totally seem wrong. But there's a few of them that seem to describe what's going on in modern times, especially the money thing. You know, they're the greatest people on earth are people with money, you know, billionaires. They're good. Elon Musk, he cares about us. He really does. He wants to help us. He's going to make us all go to Mars. Yeah, look, on the national news, look, there's the cock rocket. It's good. It's a good cock rocket. Let's all worship it. Yay, Bezos. Yay, thank you, Mr. Bezos. Thank you, St. Bezos. Please have mercy on us, St. Bezos. Please build us another cock rocket. We need to watch it and jerk off to it on the TV news.
I mean, yeah. I mean, and then
Eric for president.
And then also, like, Amazon, Bezos Amazon deliveries on guaranteed to Mars within 2 days. And I can't go outside. I don't have my oxygen tank. Hey, you forgot that, too. I got to wait for the next shipment. Can you go out and get my shipment for me? God, I'm going to live on Mars. Yeah. Thank you. Go. Like Jello Biafra. I want to see them go to Mars and leave them there. Yeah. I dig that shit, man. And it's just like, God, it's just like we talked in the past about 1968, you know, like kind of like a turning point in America, in the world, the planet. everything. I mean, are we coming up to another head like that, you think, somewhere along the line and real soon? I feel
that, yeah, with 2020 with COVID, it's not like what the 60s were. I mean, there are parts like the uprisings and Black Lives Matter stuff looks similar to the 60s stuff. So that's a similarity. But I think the energy is here. I think the 60s energy is here. It's not the same. It's very different. But it's happening. There's something this decade that's happening like the 60s, and it will gain steam, and there will be things that appear like it probably, like in 2020, the uprisings and so on. But I don't think it's not going to be like that. The 60s was kind of like the wave of energy. That wave of energy, people could feel it. I've heard random people say, it feels like the 60s sometimes, you know, just a little bit here and there, just that feeling. It may be subtle right now, but it's there. And I think that what's different about this and that, it was back then, it was the sense of us and them 2 months. It was the sense of we will win. People were like, in 5 years, there will be pot trees growing in New York and, you know, that sort of thing. And they were producing massive amounts of psychedelics, and they thought that was going to do it. I think this is going to happen just with the bus driver and the person, the grandmother, like sitting at home watching TV, and the homeless man that learns to accept and be at peace with their situation, and not necessarily like looking like a hippie and Woodstock and that kind of stuff, just of the same energy, the same consciousness awakening, you know? And that's what I envision. Yeah.
It's things have changed so much in the last 10 years, if you think about it, you know, and it seems like people are still catching up from 2000. like, wow, it's like already 2022. But really, I mean, like the last 3 years has been probably a blur, and everybody being cooped up for a real long time. And, you know, like, things going up in Canada and everything, you know, like, it's just like, I think there's two sides of the coin of that whole thing. You know, like, I'm not saying I'm an anti-vax or anything like that. I got my vaccine and everything, but I just think, that people that they need to kind of go with the gut, what they say to do to get through this whole thing again, and to block off the border and everything where it causes for people that's in a peaceful protest. I think that's a good way to do it. But to fly around, you know, the fringes of the alt-right flying around with people in Canada, you know, like trying to attach themselves to this protest, everything that's going on in Canada, like in America, why don't this happen down here like that? You know, we could clog everything up. I mean, why wish the worst? I mean, and it's pushing that whole divisiveness of duality and everything. And I think the more that the media pushes on that way, the more the pushback goes the other direction. It always happens that way. The more they push harder, the more it kind of pushes really back harder the other direction and everything. And like I said last show, like I've been talking to friends that have that I never thought had spiritual awakenings. They have, like, Mark Rubel went to Hawaii and, like, a picture, like and post, like, his spirituality. I didn't even know that, man. Like, right on, Mark, man. Mark Rubel. I know he's a listener, too. Speaking of listeners, I know Mark. You were talking about that during the break. Who's listening? I know Mark does. Mark Rubel. Thank you. And I've known him for a long time. But the good thing, you know, like, people I never thought imagined, you know, are connected that they are. You know what I mean? Not saying, hey, I'm spiritually awakened, da-da-da-da. You know, they kind of slips out through their posts and everything. And it's nice. You know, like, people that you never imagined. So that's how I see, like, I see the momentum happening around my own little circles of friends.
Just, you know, what's interesting, what Ramdas said about that question, that, you know, he told me privately on the Skype what we said before, but publicly he used to have the go-to answer about, is it going to be the age of Aquarius and we're going to have an awakening? Are we going to have Armageddon and we'll die out, extinction or whatever? That seems to be the two possibilities that people imagine, right? And he, you know, that was the question a lot of people would put to him. You're Mr. Spurge, you should know. And his go-to answer publicly was, it doesn't matter. Like, if there's going to be Armageddon, I'm still going, we're all going to get to God eventually anyway. If we die, we're still all here. We are spirit. So I, what, and if it's a new age and awakening, we're still all going to go to God. We're still all spirit. So either possibility, I will do what I can to relieve suffering. I will quiet my mind and open my heart. So either direction, Armageddon or awakening of the planet and sort of a building a new society, both, he would do the same thing. Quiet his mind, open his heart, relieve suffering. So I think that question sometimes, and thinking about that kind of stuff, can take you away from where it's happening right now. Right now is more important than any of that. Right now, opening our heart, quieting our mind, returning to simplicity, not being obsessed with how it's going to turn out or what's going to happen or blah, 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 blah. Our society and politics, that's all okay to get into. But what about the leaf falling on the ground? And what about the sound of your feet as you walk? And there's one step, and then there's another step. And then, and just like when you know, when you come home from, say, you have a job and you come home and you sit in your favorite chair and you're just like, what about that now? And then again, right? And just the simplicity of just, here we are. You know,
like,
and
when you have to go to the bathroom.
What about taking a shit? You ever forget
holding
the
sacredness
of taking a shit?
You know? It's clogging you up. You can feel it. You're trying to not push it back in, and you know, and you can't. You have to let it out. And once you go, oh God dang. Especially when you're like, driving in LA traffic. I'm driving in traffic.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell a shark story. I'm just gonna get it out there. I'll feel better about my life. There was one time where I did go to a bar. This is when I did drink. I wasn't a heavy drinker, but I was having a beer. And, you know, fart, the shart is when you fart and a little poop comes out, right? And I was going through some stressful things. It was when I was living in North Jersey, and I was working a 9-to-5. I was working as activity therapist at a mental hospital. It was stressful. I was teaching meditation to mental hospital people, talking this kind of stuff to people in that situation, and they were saying, do the paperwork, stop caring about people, stop helping people, that's secondary, just get the paperwork done. And I'm not good at paperwork, so it was frustrating. So I'm going to the beer, I just want to blow some steam and have a beer, and I fart. This is a true story. And this is not, meanwhile, I'm not a human being, I am God, we're all God, but on the illusion where I'm a human being, I'm Mr. Baba Here Love, and I go through life. That's what I'm talking about, the story of my life. I was in that bar. I sharted, and out came a little poop. I'm laughing about it now, but it wasn't funny then. The poop came out my butt, and it was in my pants. And damn, you know. And it's just, and I, of course, I had to sit there because I was like, okay, if I keep my butt on the seat, the smell gets trapped, right? And then people won't smell it. And then I decided I'm gonna wait for the people to leave next to me. And if I keep my butt there, the smell will be trapped. And then they don't have to smell and give me that look. Because I knew it's not going to hurt me. But the look, you know the look. I get the look all the time now just for walking down the street. People give me the look just for existing now. But back then, I was kind of a normal person a little bit. Now I'm a total freak and everybody gives me the look. But back then, I was a little bit afraid of the look. You know the look. You probably get it every day too. And so I'm just afraid they're going to give me the look of judgment. I'm lesser. I was afraid of that look. I was more in ego back then. So I'm sitting there. Finally, I think like 30 minutes, 20 minutes, even maybe an hour later, the people leave. So I'm like, okay, I'm planning. And I just put the money on the table and I get, and I bolt out of the bar. And I smelled a little bit on the way out. I feel sorry for those people in that bar because it probably stank so bad. But you know, I think back to that, and that kind of like, you know, that's you know, we all, like, that may be like, oh, that's a petty thing, you know, why should you be upset about that? But, you know, that for the ego, everything is about, you know, how people think of me and my body, and I'm Joe, and I go and I sit at the bar, and what will people think of me? What do I think of me? And I'm emotions, and I'm body. And this is my story, and I don't shart in a bar. I'm Joe. Joe never sharts, you know? And that's where the suffering. If I was sitting there and I wasn't identified with Joe or Bobby Hill, whatever it is, Eric, and I was just like, whatever, then why would I care? So I sharted. That's what happened. That's fate. That's my destiny, to have that poop in my head, to have that smell. Why couldn't I just stand up and say, okay, I sharted, and that's that? Why is it really that bad? One little look I'm going to get from someone, is that going to hurt me? Is that what Hitler did to the Jews? Am I a Jew in the camp? No, it's just a shark, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've been I've been to, you know, like go to a restaurant, get invited, and I went to Beverly Hills, and and everybody's like, real, you could feel the vibes of I'm uptight, you don't belong here, you do not belong here. And I went, and then you kind of like, oh, give me some of that bread there, and I want some French fries with cheddar cheese, and so they bring it, yeah, this is a true story, and they bring it out, and like, God, I'm like, and like Dylan and everybody's really uptight, eating it real slow, very carefully, instead of like, all right, let's just shovel it in. Like, they're real, being real polite and stuff. Like, it must be the people around us, right? You know, that's doing this to you. And, you know, your self-conscious and everything, like, you're like, I got to do this real carefully. And I'm sitting here, and like, even when we went, Jennifer and I went to Pace, you know, like, which is like down on Love Street. And they have good pizza too. If you ever get out there, you know, like, the country store that we're actually in, where the restaurant is, where his Mama Cass lived there. She lived there for a while. And, they had really, it was like, cool posters. Everybody's down to agree. I'm wearing my tie dye and everything. And they, hey, like, I got treated like everybody else, like that, like, kind of like, I thought I was going to walk in there with a lot of uptight hippies and stuff like that from, you know, from Laurel Canyon, and everybody was down, and that was cool, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
been to places like when you walk in and you think, oh no, how am I going to be treated? And especially in a restaurant for some reason.
Yeah.
But and the point is like, I don't know what you're saying. It's like, do I move? I have to go to the bathroom. I don't know if I want to use their bathroom. I'm, you know, like, it's kind of like in a movie, like you go to a movie theater, you don't want to like go to the bathroom because you might miss a part of a movie that you want to see. Like, you just left when it was great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm going to hold it in. And that's kind of like what that is too. Like, you get caught up like hell with it. It's going to
be. Did you shart it?
I one time, you know, I had to got out of class. was going out of college, and yeah, that happened. I sat there until everybody left. Like,
you know, but yeah, exactly, like you said. But you know, it's like the Ram Dass talks about. I always go back to Ram Dass, but he's like my go-to. He talks about the hollow bamboo, as an example of what we can aspire to be like the hollow bamboo is sitting there. It has, you know, the sun comes out, warms it. It's night. It's cold. It'll be a little cold, you know that, like, it's living. It's sitting there swaying in the breeze. Like, who's to say we can't, you know, be like, oh, there I sharted, and just be like the hollow bamboo. It's just a shard. You know, you can't change that you sharted. You might go leave, but you have to be. Do we have to have all these thoughts about what people are going to think? Is it going to smell, or we're smelling it and all that? Can't we live our lives like a hollow bamboo? Okay, we sharted. We go home, we clean our underwear, buy a new pair. What's the big deal? Why do we have to be upset about that? That it's possible to have that egoless, mindless flow. You know, you've been in that flow. So
yeah, but that's in the United States, but somewhere else in the part of the world, you did that. That could be a compliment, like saying, hello, I love you.
Really?
You never know. You know, like, I'm just saying, you know, like, you never know. Like, you know, another man's garbage is another man's treasure, you know, so.
Well, maybe there's another reality where sharding is considered like the ultimate, like you go and like the whole ritual is built around sharding. So you go and you're 18 years old and you're ready for your first shard, and you go up and everybody's chanting shard, 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 and you go in the center of this big like cathedral, and this is the most sacred moment.
Be a
of
mantra.
Life. Yeah, and everybody shark, shark, shark.
Everybody,
and you have to time it right so you fart with the shark, but not you just poop because that's not a shark. So it has to fart out but come out with the shark. And you've been trained for years about this, and this is your rite of passage. And if you don't do it, you're killed. So well, it's like
you have a spit tune for it instead of wearing underwear. So when everybody does it in synchrony, you just go bing, 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 bing. And then you have that beautiful moment right there. Have that recorded. Yeah. If they could do it in synchronicity. There.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we call it... I got a good echo on this. All right. We'll call it a show here, and just Baba, you want to give out your Facebook and all that information?
All right. So if anyone is interested in the Baba Here Love thing, and again, I'm nobody special. I am you. I am the distant galaxy that we were talking about before. But in the one manifests as the many, and in the many, there's all these different parts and so on. So there's the Baba Here Love thing that like helps people quiet their mind, open their heart, cosmic joke and all that, if the person resonates. If you don't resonate, go listen to Deepak Chopra. Go get Mr. Phony. You know, go sit there, and Deepak says it so well, and he's got all these books, and he was on Oprah. I really think he's going to help me. Yeah, go listen to Deepak. Get Mr. Phony. You don't want authenticity. No, forget that. So if you're into authenticity and someone really going this journey and sharding in bars, then go look up on Facebook Baba Here Love, and you'll see the links to I just do this podcast. I'll do another one under the blanket, and I got audiobook, Spiritual Bipolar, and got ebooks out there. No, nothing in paper, but plenty of ebooks. Spiritual Bipolar is the best one in my view. And my Facebook has all kinds of daily pretty much posts of positive spiritual stuff. You're not going to get the star seed, light worker, crystal worker, manifest your dreams. I'm special. I'm so special. You're not going to get stuff that's going to feed your ego. You're going to get you are not special. Anyway, I probably upset most people that would be into it. But anyway, you'll get that kind of stuff. I got all kinds of little, like, what I call it is like rabbit holes. Like you're like Alice and you discover the Mad Hatter and Wonderland. You're going down these different albums and you click Facebook and you look in the album and you see, oh, there's the Cricket Buddha and there's the Scream of the Butterfly. And you see these graphic little blend art things I do, and you see little poems, and you'll see like little videos I put together with iMovie with clips from, say, Jim Carrey movie, enough not to get copyright. And then I throw in a little clip of me laughing or a spiritual talk I do. I do live spiritual talks. Bubba the Buddha. Anyway, you get the point. There's a shitload of content for you to explore. So it's all there for you for free. And I not only that, I will counsel you when I can on the messenger for free. But send me, I have a question about this. I have a problem about this. I'll give you a little advice. I can set up video, audio things. And I do accept donations, but only if there's no pressure involved and you're like, I really want to give them whatever, 120, 30, whatever, nothing. Most people don't give anything, and that's fine because I really want it to be pure. I don't want to end up Deepak Chopra. That's my nightmare, to end up like him, being a douchey Hollywood LA spiritual guru, sucking Oprah's cock every day. Yay, Oprah, fame, money. And out of our big 12-inch Oprah cock comes a bunch of money and gold. Okay, see, no one's going to be into this. Because I'm crazy. Yes, we're all mad here. We're all mad here.
she's giving away.
Yeah, lose your mind.
she's giving away free cars to everyone that writes her right now. And And also, just to let everybody know, with ChineRockPodcast.com, you can check out, like, images. Baba Here Loves books are all on there in the shop and everything. There's videos and stuff like that, episodes that if you don't want to go to any digital platform, which I don't blame you, I guess. I don't know. It's all the episodes are right there, and we're on 22 digital platforms, whatever that's supposed to mean. And Bohemia After Dark podcast, I do it every now and then, and also like whenever I can. I'm recreating the website and everything, so look for that in the future and everything. And it's Black History Month. Everybody kiss and hug everybody. Doesn't matter what color you are, just give everybody a big hug. I just suggest that. Hug everyone. Hug them. Hug them. Give them a big kiss on the forehead.
Hours of interracial porn, man. Every Saturday. Interracial porn Saturday, 20 hours. That's an order from Bob Irla for Black History Month.
It's going to be streaming live on YouTube 24/7.
Yeah, forget that. Just go to the goat porn.
Go there. We go.
Porn. It's not. What's wrong with goat porn? Are the goats being hurt? Like, the goats probably enjoy it, right? What's wrong with watching goat porn? Why does everybody got to judge people that watch? Oh, you watch goat porn? That's gross. Maybe that person feels like a little better about themselves because they're just so sexually frustrated and they get a little release from the goat. Why is that so bad?
Well, because it's not going to get your goat. But anyways, have a good time, everybody. Thank you for coming and listening to our rhetoric and everything, and enjoy the here and now, and enjoy Rock Podcast. Out to next time. Bye.
They're walking on the earth and driving cars all the time, and we don't realize it.
Please listen carefully.
Catalysts to say what has never been said, to see what has never been seen, to draw, paint, sing, sculpt, dance, and act what has never before been done, to push the envelope of creativity and language. And what's really important is, I call it the felt presence of direct experience, which is a fancy term which just simply means we have to stop consuming our culture. We have to create culture. Don't watch TV. Don't read magazines. Don't even listen to NPR. Create your own roadshow, the nexus of space and time. Where you are now is the most immediate sector of your universe. And if you're worrying about Michael Jackson or Bill Clinton or somebody else, then you are disempowered. You're giving it all away to icons. Icons which are maintained by an electronic media, so that if you want to dress like X or have lips like Y or something, this is shit-brained, this kind of thinking. That is all cultural diversion. And what is real is you and your friends and your associations, your highs, your orgasms, your hopes, your plans, your fears. And we're told, no, we're unimportant, we're peripheral. Get a degree, get a job, get a this, get a that, and then you're a player. You don't even want to play in that game. You want to reclaim your mind and get it out of the hands of the cultural engineers who want to turn you into a half-baked moron consuming all this trash that's being manufactured out of the bones of a dying world. Where is that at?
Take it.
have the morning off.
That's right, baby.
Magazine fiend since I was a teen, fell in love at 15 with a B-movie queen, went to Hollywood to get a good part and start to rise in my Levi's. There'll be no butter in hell. Yeah, there'll be no butter in hell. It's the sinister urge of the musical dirge. There'll be no butter in hell. Yeah, there'll be no butter in hell. It's the sinister urge of the musical dirge. Live in hotel cheap for a little bo peep. It's the sinister urge. Musical dirge, it's a hotel creep for a porno pie peep. I lived in Beverly Hills and I lived on Skid Row. There'll be no butter in hell. Yeah, there'll be no butter in hell. It's a sinister urge, a musical dirge. There'll be no butter in hell. Yeah, there'll be no butter in hell. It's a sinister urge of the musical dirge. Lust speed diamonds, lost my heart in a movie. Start the show and know they love you. Living in the city of sin, hanging out with creepy Alvin. Albino rhino, rickety rot, Hollywood Hotel and Army Cod. Yeah, there'll be no butter in hell. Yeah, there'll be no butter in hell. It's a sinister urge of the musical dirge. There'll be no butter in hell. Yeah, there'll be no butter in hell. It's a the sinister urge of the musical dirge. I'm a magazine fiend since I was a teen. Fell in love at 15 with a B-movie queen. Went to Hollywood to get a good part and start to rise.
It's a sinister urge of